We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
This is real radio.
On 670 The Score.
Kevin Acey has covered Bryant's career. Kevin writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune.
It's impossible to think more highly of Chris Bryant than I do. To overstate it is almost impossible in terms of what he could mean to a franchise in all facets. He's a five-tool player, and he is nicer and more genuine than he is a good baseball player. You can just tell that the guy wants to be great. When you observe him play on a daily basis or on a regular basis, you're going to absolutely fall in love with Chris Bryant. I'm a married man. It's all good. I don't need to defend myself here. I wanted to go home with the kid.
I think that was a positive review, Mac.
Yeah, this sounds like Jerry Reinsdorf talking about Jim Thome.
Does. Kevin Acey singing the praises of Chris Bryant the morning after the Cubs drafted him as we broadcast from a casino in Michigan.
I was trying to remember where we were.
Four wins, I believe. Exit one.
It was the four wins. And Kevin Acey in love with Chris Bryant, and he has proven to be 100% correct.
He sure was.
Right?
He sure was.
Like Bryant,
yes. He can spike the ball if he hasn't already.
It's the morning after they drafted him. He covered him in college, and now we see Bryant still doesn't drink.
He's
like the most easygoing guy, a sneaky great radio interview these days, if you ask me, getting better all the time.
I agree.
And the best player, would you say? I think Shepwood.
Yeah,
the best player
say,
on your Chicago Cubs. And set to have
a
gigantic year.
No less than 72 hours ago.
That was for you.
You told me.
I did.
That
I was tired.
He wasn't even the second name you brought up.
Oh, yeah.
He was the third name you brought up when you started listing your best Cubs.
I had just shown up. I hadn't been to the radio station for 2 weeks. I was felt disconnected. I didn't mean it by that.
After you mentioned Rizzo, then mentioned Baez, I'm like, are you finally going to mention the best player on the team?
I love Rizzo as a player. I love Rizzo's, just the way that he captains that infield.
You overlove him as a player, probably.
I think I do. The way that he takes care of his pitchers. You see the way he takes care of Lester to make him feel comfortable.
Yep.
The way he, talks to guys and tries to help get them in the right place out there, that kind of thing. And so I overvalue his import. And I love the B-hack. I love him as a situational hitter. He's the best situational hitter on that team, and that includes Ben Zobrist.
Zobrist is pretty. He was the guy that I felt most confident going to the dish in the final three innings of a game the last month of the season. It was unfortunate that you felt that way about a 36-year-old at the time, but that's what he was. He was the most professional hitter in their lineup the last month of the season.
If they could have their druthers, they want every single one of their players to turn into Anthony Rizzo with two strikes. Become selfless, shorten up, make contact, foul everything off.
Head of the bat on the ball.
Get on base, for God's sakes.
Base runners are good.
And you know what? If you swing well and it's your pitch, you can still drive it out of the park choked up, as Rizzo has proven many times.
Well, as we talk baseball here in this next 20 minutes or so, Chris Bryant's good health this spring has been, for me, the biggest positive to come out of Cubs training camp. That was a concern. When he didn't decide to have surgery, apparently it wasn't necessary because he's saying all the things about how great he feels. He's showing it. He's hitting the ball with power. And that is the most critical component of their offensive success this year, in my opinion, is Chris Bryant.
Yeah, that's fair to say. He was brilliant for 6 weeks, and then he got hurt. And the two times he came back after that, both one fully re-aggravating the injury and another changed the mechanics to try and survive the injury and try to play. He's not doing that stuff anymore. He gave himself a full long pause from swinging, the longest pause he's had since he was 13 years old, to not swing the bat. Let himself fully heal, then slowly worked it back, and now he's himself. I think there is no reason to believe he won't just resume being himself, and that is one of the best players in the game.
I'm optimistic about Bryant. I'm optimistic Baez will not maybe repeat those numbers, but still be representative of the type of player he was when he was the runner-up for MVP.
I'd love to see him get better, even. And he started to show it a little bit more by taking some walks, taking a few more pitches as the year went on, just a few more. But, boy.
Only one bad swing per at-bat. That's a step in the right direction, though.
It sure is. It sure is. Go ahead. Take out the driver without two strikes. And when there's two strikes, where's the pitching wedge?
Yep.
You know? So that's a guy, if he could get a little better situationally, I'm sure they'd
love
that.
Look at you with golf analogies.
Well.
My goodness. What is the world coming to?
As I've gotten older, I have no choice.
Yeah.
I have to make golf analogies if I want the people around me to understand what I'm talking about.
About an hour away from his next single malt. He's Matt Spiegel. What vexes me about the Cubs, and I don't know, vexes is probably too strong, but
it's a good word. So
it
glad
is,
you used
and I
it.
Wanted to deploy it, and I did.
Deploy it. Vexes, go. You're on duty. Go. Enter this sentence now. I like the image of you deploying words in your vocabulary.
The absence of a closer is problematic, and it's early, and it's a thing historically teams have fixed while on the run in season. It's something that Epstein and Hoyer can do in season.
They've done it before.
They have. But when a guy who would be your closer on opening day is sitting there without an employer right now.
Craig Kimbrell.
And the Brewers, who already have a pretty damn good bullpen, they're the team that you're chasing. They're the defending Central champs. They sign him. I would sign him just to blank block him. Blank block the Brewers.
Hoping the Atlanta Braves sign him to blank block the Brewers.
If he wants a four-year deal, I understand the trepidation. I'm reluctant to give a closer more than 2 years. More than 1 year, but let's say you have to meet him in the middle and give him 2 years. You pay him a ton of money and pay him for 2 years. At least make the offer and keep the Brewers from getting him. I don't know what they're waiting for. I don't know why they're not addressing that.
Because they can't spend any money.
But
they've been told, baseball operations has been told that they can't spend any money. I mean, it's as obvious as can possibly be. And it has been the case since they watched Jesse Chavez walk away. Remember that some of the guys in that bullpen who shouldn't be on the roster, but will be probably, are making money that you regret. Brian Dunsing's contract, you wish you didn't sign Brian Dunsing to that contract. They looked at him and thought he was ready to be something that he didn't show last year.
Well, and you're still 26 million upside down on Tyler Chatwood for two more seasons.
Oh, sure. I wasn't even talking about him, so it's three. Brandon Kinsler's making $5 million. He shouldn't be on your roster come opening day. No chance. So that's money that they cannot get away from. And then the Chatwood money is money that they cannot get away from. The Hayward money is money that they cannot get away from. And they've just, you know, they don't have, baseball ops does not have the money they thought they were going to have.
That's not acceptable. It's just not. You're so close. And the division has gotten stronger while you've done nothing other than hope for your guys to get back to the numbers on the back of their baseball cards.
You're in your window. You're right smack dab in the middle of your window. And
you might be at the back end of it, more than you know, because John Lester is 34, 35 years old. Cole Hamels is 35 years old.
Yeah, but if Darvish doesn't resume being, you know, a good 90 to 95% of himself, then, yeah, they've got rotation issues to consider in coming years after Lester's deal is done and Hamels has his final year here.
I don't find it acceptable to just freeze it up at this point if that's... That's the most glaring weakness on the roster right now. Would you agree? They don't have a closer.
Yes, I would agree. And Brandon Morrow, when he comes back, if he comes back, is not somebody you can feel great about putting out there 2 days in a row.
No, you can't.
And never three days in a row.
Somebody go home with him and put pants on for him. That's how he hurt himself last year and missed 3 weeks.
They point to a specific June swing of 3 games in a row, and they're angry that Joe Maddon did it, even though the game's called for it. What the hell do you want him to do? Not that, apparently. Not that. Look, I think the world of Pedro Strop, and I think they can survive nicely until Morrow gets back for the most part with Strop and Cishek and Brad Brock, I guess you're
Monty.
Hoping. Yeah, Montgomery, but in terms of late-inning righties to do things.
How good do you feel about Brock?
Velocity
down at the start of spring, that was a big thing. Battling through the illness he had.
Yeah, I feel better about him than Carl Edwards Jr. And unfortunately,
correct.
They'll probably still have Edwards Jr. above him and hope that he's gotten over the hump. But yeah, Mac, it's incredibly distressing. And I understand your thought that it's not acceptable. But I think the guy to talk to is Tom Ricketts. That's the guy to talk to.
We can get to your text messages. Shoot us one at 670-11. The Scores text line is brought to you by MegaPros. Repair, remodel, renovate, megapros.com. This text from the 773. Why doesn't Mac worry about the White Sox like he worries about the Cubs?
Oh, he does.
But the White Sox are not in a window of championship opportunity right here. What the Cubs have done in the last 4 years is turn their franchise into one of the marquee franchises in their game. And to me, the sands are dripping to the bottom of the hourglass with that aging staff. It could be a great staff this year. It could be a staff that has a no vacancy sign hanging up in the trainer's room.
It should be. In terms of the starters?
Yes.
Yeah, it should be. It should be. It is distressing. It is distressing because you're right here in the middle of the window. But last year, I mean, the Darvish signing was just such a complete and utter disaster. And no matter what happens moving forward, he was still a disaster for an entire season in the middle of your window. Like, it's going to be really hard to ever look back on that and say it worked out. Unless they win, what, a couple titles with him in there? Because for one entire year, they didn't have the benefit of a guy that they were counting on. They had used that money, and then they had to chase Hamels to correct it, and now they had to re-sign Hamels because you can't trust Darvish, and that has hamstrung you in this offseason. I mean, the domino effect of a disastrous Darvish has been hugely damaging.
Yeah, but if you win a title, and he's a big part why,
that's yes.
You're okay with
yes,
okay,
you are.
Yeah, that stunk for 2018, and that was bad for 2018.
You get a gold star for it.
Guess what? There's more banners hanging now.
Yep.
Like, that's a great problem to have.
Well, they better.
Right.
That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do when you are a big market behemoth like this. Sometimes, like the Red Sox did, you got to take a breath or two. You go backwards. Sometimes, like the Yankees did, you capitalize on a year of non-contention by dealing away some things and getting some kids back. Maybe that's what they'll end up doing this year if it goes bad. But yeah, it's distressing. Now, Kimbrel wanted a ridiculous amount of years and money.
I know.
At the beginning, and he's not getting it. So now it's between Atlanta and Milwaukee, apparently.
Two years. Offer him 2 years. Pay him for 2 years. I don't think it's acceptable. All right, here comes some text for you. You're gonna like these.
Okay.
708 texter. Oh, Speaks, please say mechanics more. It's almost as good as Sherrick McManus.
Mechanics?
That's what he said.
Have you ever seen the coverage mechanics of Sherrick McManus? Have you?
Another guy, just for old times, Speaks, say Paris Harrelson.
Oh, the former San Francisco linebacker, Paris Harrelson. I love that guy.
He spelled Paris wrong, but that's okay.
It doesn't matter.
He knows the drill, right? We know what he means.
Yeah, you know, I always thought it was weird when Hub Arkish used to laugh at the fact that Marvin Harrison had almost shot
murdered
the guy.
Somebody.
Yeah, almost
yeah.
killed somebody. and then
Hub's odd laugh.
And then today I realized on the drive in that there's a singer, a young female singer, who has both the short A and the short O, Maren Morris.
That's awesome.
Yep.
I love both of those.
She will forever be in the lexicon as somebody, a reference for me.
When I hear a name with short A's and short O's and it's not said properly, I will say sometimes driving by myself out loud, that's not how you say it. It's Morris.
It's Maren Morris.
What's wrong with
say
you?
Say it correctly.
Yeah.
Say it right. Saying right. I got White Sox worries if you want White Sox worries.
Well, there are plenty of those, too, yeah. My list starts with Yoan Moncada.
Well,
there was never, ever any real closure on the possibility that he shot someone in Philadelphia.
That tickles
it sure is funny, Hub. I agree.
Nothing like an unsolved capital crime to tickle his funny bone.
You know, And yet he still made the Hall of Fame. That was the thing. They've still put Marvin Harrison in the Hall of Fame, even though he might have shot a guy.
There was never, ever any real closure on the possibility that he shot someone in Philadelphia.
A laugh riot.
That's interestingly placed, isn't it?
Shep, I'm so glad you brought up Juan Uribe again. We kind of let that go by during the Joe Cali interview, and he's talking about Juan Uribe. I mean, we all know he shot a guy. We all know he shot that guy.
He shot the Italian sailor that was on his property.
We do? We all know that? I didn't know we all knew that.
I was unaware.
Apparently, we all know that.
Yeah.
Come on, Mac. No, what I was referring to with the White Sox, you see what happened today in Boston? Well, in Florida. Chris Sale and the Red Sox agreed on a 5-year extension for $150 million, so $30 million a year for Chris Sale to be tacked onto his deal. And the deal he's working on is still the one that Rick Hahn signed
him to.
Sure
it is. Yeah, we were out in camp when it happened.
We were, weren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, so here you go. So Chris Sale will get a big pile of money, and we'll cross him off then of next year's free agent class. Paul Goldschmidt, cross him off then. Nolan Arenado,
right.
Cross him off then. There is not a long list. And as that list dwindles further, and Anthony Rendon is out there, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Nationals locked up Anthony Rendon at some point here, as teams are aggressively locking up their guys before they get there. Hell, Alex Bregman just got 100 mil for 6 years, so he won't hit free agency anytime soon. The magnitude of the Manny Machado whiff gets larger by the day when that list gets smaller.
Yeah, I get you.
Because the opportunity, there's nobody on that list next year who's anywhere as good or as young as Manny Machado or Bryce Harper. There's nobody. And there's not going to be for a long, long time. As the game is trending towards locking up your guys like this, my goodness, the arbitrary line in the sand of $50 million and those final two guaranteed years are going to loom over this franchise for a long time.
So, and you're doing the right thing by looking forward. I'm looking, you know, when I think about White Sox concerns, I think about concerns for right now.
No, I know,
and
that
is the return piece for Chris Sale. To me, needs this season before we reach conclusion on Yoan Moncada, but I'm not optimistic. I don't know why you would be.
Yeah, he needs to be less.
160, pencil him in. This is one of my favorite phrases. Mm-hmm. Pencil him in for something fantastic, usually. Oh, pencil him in for 40 homers a year. You know how many guys you could pencil in for 40 homers a year? Very few.
Very, very few.
Pencil him in for 175 strikeouts.
He needs to swing more. You know, this is good. Do you remember when Paul Konerko was in the booth with Hawk Harrelson during the year and was like that Moncada is dealing from a position of patience, thinking he's going to get respect from umpires he doesn't have respect from.
No, no, no.
Nor pitchers he has respect from. You're going to have to earn the respect by hitting freaking laser beams all over the field for a while.
Those umpires haven't read baseball prospectus.
Exactly.
It's like Eddie Curry. Better be a better rebounder if you just jump.
Just jump a little bit.
Be a better hitter if you swung the bat, kid.
Swing the bat. Prove to people you can hit balls hard and all over the place.
That would be good.
And then maybe they'll nibble and you can take your walks. So, that is
White Sox have been bad for a long time. They've been bad for a long time now, and there is no real reason to be real optimistic that that's changing anytime in the next couple of years. And based on what you're talking about for the even longer-term future.
Man, those 5 years.
If Moncada is not what he's supposed to be, if Eloy or Aloy, whatever you prefer, is not what he was expected to be, this is a 90-loss team.
Yeah.
Again and again and again.
And that's the thing. Like, when is the transition year coming, and who are the veteran free agents who are going to help you get over that hump? I don't know who they are. They wasted a lot of time with Robin Ventura. Those years, oh my God, they were so ugly.
Back to the loyalty issue we were talking about with Cowley regarding the other team.
100%. 100%. And now here they are, willingly losing. But it still, in the end, adds up to what all these years in a row of losing and ugliness that weighs on you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, the food's great, We missed Sox food today. They brought some new products by the station today.
Oh, today was the day they were doing
Bernstein
it?
And McKnight scarfed them up. Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. I imagine the I'm Fat podcasters also got involved with some of that. They were probably first in line.
You know, I know you've probably never heard the I'm Fat podcast.
I'm Fat.
It's really good. It's different, totally different show.
I'm Fat podcast.
But, they're good at food.
Their food is
they're
good.
They're good at food. They're
parking
good at
lots.
Come on.
Yeah, come on in. No lines, no waiting.
The Xfinity Zone up top there. The Rubster loves to swing a bat when we get there.
I'll be there a half a dozen times again this year. It's professional baseball being played in front of us, and the food is good.
I had a great time on Kopech night until it rained, of course, because the Lord said you can only be happy for 20 minutes.
You know what died fast? The house of Kenny Hanna that Parkins coined before we went to Arizona.
Uh-huh.
It lived for 3 days on this show, and we've not said bupkis about it since.
That's your job.
I know.
You gotta commit
to
the bit.
I thought he was on to something.
You gotta hammer that bit into the air and into the ground.
Garpax worked so well. Garpax is part of the nomenclature in Chicago sports and has been for a handful of years now.
Yeah,
it's Garpax. Well, the White Sox offer you the house of Kenny Hanna.
Yeah, they do.
Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams.
Well,
Kenny Hanna.
You know, you're the only adopters, right? You need more.
You need to talk with somebody in food over there and have them do like the Japanese steakhouses.
Oh, yeah,
right,
hibachi
table. The hibachi volcano onions for your Italian sausage.
I'm sure once they get wind of the context with which you talk about Kenny Hanna, they would love to work with you.
Yeah, they'd be all over that. Sure, where do we sign up for this?
Oh, you guys are ripping our front office again. Absolutely. Would you like to endorse a food product? Pretty sure that's how they work.
I pay for my tickets, though.
I know
Let the record show. I help subsidize a buddy's addiction to White Sox tickets. He buys a third of a slab every year, and sure, I'll go.
They're good ones, though, right?
Yeah, they're good. They ought to be for the price they're charging for them these days. I went into Buddy's last night, and we were talking about that. My God, when I had Sox seasons in the early 90s in section 126, row 7, five rows off the dugout. Dugout eats up the first two rows. So you're five rows off the field. They were $18 a piece. 93. 94 good years in White Sox history.
You bet.
Two real
you bet.
Good years. Frank Thomas MVP years.
Mm-hmm.
$72 for a four pack.
94 should have finished. That would have been.
Yeah,
a lot
that would have been right.
If they actually finished the season, would have been a nice touch.
Julio Franco had it going that season. God, I loved Julio Franco.
Why not? Why wouldn't you? I love that. I love that.
But
he
think
held
about
the
that.
Bat.
$72 for four of them, five rows off the field. Fast forward to today, that's the price of a ticket for if the Yankees or Cubs are in town. That's one seat.
The whole thing, man. There's this country singer named Kacey Musgraves. You know her?
No.
She made a great, beautiful record that I've liked for a year now called Golden Hour. And then it got a lot of pub. And then she won a pile of Grammys. She won Record of the Year. She had a concert at the Chicago Theater that got canceled because of the cold. It's back. She's here on Monday night. Those tickets are like $265 for the Chicago Theater. Really? What do you think I'm made of? You think I don't have Parkins endorsement money? Took it from me, the bastards.
He'll endorse any
Please make this personal. Isn't that nice?
Please make this. Yeah. Oh, did he say please make this personal?
Sure. Please make this personal.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
The funny thing was his recovery after that. Acted like it was part of the script.
Talk about your weekend. Talk about this.
That's the best. That reminds me, of course, of Dan Jiggets. Tell him your name sent you.
Oh, tell him. Yeah. And I got a Jiggets follow-up. We talked about him off the air today a little while ago. Something happened when I went outside for a delicious smoke a little while ago. His name was invoked, very much to my surprise. I'll share that with you.
Good.
We'll do a little Hawks before we're out of here at 6 o'clock. We're going to hit the NCAA again in just a couple of minutes with Tim Doyle from CBS Sports. Matt Spiegel is in for Danny Parkins. I'm Dan McNeil, and you're listening to The Score.
Wow. Corner. Oh, bullseye! Fletcher McGee is not human!
Unbelievable in terms of the way he was catching and turning at the same time. It's remarkable.
Wofford. Raise your hand if you had Wofford over Seton Hall last night.
You know it's March when someone's singing the praises of Wofford, right?
Right?
Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Nothing beats playoff hockey. The first place Chicago Wolves return to Allstate Arena Saturday as they look to clinch another playoff berth. Celebrate the 25th anniversary season with free parking courtesy of Kia. For information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Joining us right now to talk some of this NCAA tournament on day two is my guy. He's Chicago Joe Doyle's dad, most importantly. He is the former Northwestern hoopster, Tim Doyle, with Stadium and CBS Sports. Hello, TD. How are you today, man?
I feel pretty good. Is it weird for you guys to be, like, back in the studio together? It's like getting in bed with a former lover, right? Like, you still know the old moves, like, play with the nipples a little bit, but, like, it's never the same as it once was. How are things going so far in studio?
Yeah, I didn't start out aroused. It's a good point. Like, it took us a while to work back into the rhythm, but I think the show, it reached a climax around, I don't know, 3:45, somewhere in there.
It's all been good.
It's been fun, Tim. Thanks for noticing.
You know, what I did shows with Danny Mac last year, after one of the shows, he was like, "You got to look at me more." And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "You're not looking at me enough." He's like, "We got to communicate with our eyes. We got to be looking at each other." So then I started staring at him like Patrick Swayze in Dirty Dancing. And then I think I actually creeped him out for like a show or two because I was just looking through his eyes and like trying to see him naked, look into his soul. I guess that's why I didn't get the job.
You certainly have mastered the art of embellishment. You got that part of it down, Timmy Doyle.
Yeah, the chemistry is everything, man. You gotta work to find it. And that's why I thought Belmont was going to win yesterday in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, there it is.
I really did. We had Belmont going far, but how much does chemistry matter? What are we seeing here over the first couple of days in terms of that, Tim? Because I've been looking for those teams that play well together.
I think you may say chemistry. I'll say identity. You know, do you know who you are? Do you know what you do? You know, I'm looking at the Wisconsin-Oregon score right now. It's 25-25. That's exactly what I figured the score was going to be. I went on CBS HQ before the game, and I said the first team to score 54 points, they may just stop the game. Like, they may go, "Congratulations, you've scored 54 points. The game is officially over." Like, I think identity is key. And what happened to Virginia, what, a half hour ago, was the perfect scenario. You know, they were asking me, like, what do you want to see from Virginia in this game? And I just said, I want to see them overcome adversity. I said, whether that adversity is they're down 4 points after the second TV timeout with 11:30 left in the first half, I want to see adversity. Now, when they were down 14 in the first half, I started to think, no way. I mean, if Virginia would have lost that game to Gardner-Webb, I say you cancel all sports at Virginia. You cancel field hockey, you cancel men's tennis, you cancel men's basketball. You just have a school, no more sports, but they figured out a way to win. And I think this for Virginia, this whole March Madness, Matt and Dan, is all going to be mental because they can beat anybody. They can win a national championship. But as you guys know, I like the ponies, and past performances have shown Virginia likes to get out to a lead and they can't get to the finish line. So I don't trust them to win the whole thing this year.
Tim, we were on the air when that game was going on, and it looked early on like they were going to get tripped up again. But we can't really watch the game while we're doing the show. Did Virginia come back and take that thing, or did Gardner-Webb just pee it away?
No, Virginia came back and really clamped down defensively. What's different about this Virginia team, guys, than the ones that we have followed over years past is they actually have NBA players. DeAndre Hunter is going to be a lottery pick. Jerome, Guy, those guys are, if they're not NBA players, they're high-level European players. And now their offense has finally caught up to their defense, which has always been, you know, kind of their identity over the last couple of years. But, man, that was a huge mental hurdle. I think Tony Bennett's happy the way that game played out. Now he can keep pointing to this performance. Like, hey, we overcame, you know, this little bugaboo. Now Gardner-Webb is, you know, no one to write home about. They did beat Wake Forest earlier in the year. But for Virginia, if you pick them to win your bracket, I think you got some big cojones.
Timmy, 6-0 is the Big Ten as of right now. And you know what? They haven't had a losing record in the tournament. I saw this, what, like 9 years? 10 years? And yet I went into this tourney thinking that these Big Ten teams are not going to make deep runs. Who might make a deep run of these Big Ten teams? Anybody surprise you already with their win?
Iowa surprised me. I really loved Cincinnati in that game. Iowa was 2-6 in their last 8 games, and the only way they could win that game was the way they won that game. They made 11 threes. They were 11 of 22 from three. As far as winning the whole thing, you know, I'm going to take a flyer and go with Michigan State, and here's why. Duke got the number one overall seed. Duke's got some difficult games. All right, obviously, tonight's game's not going to be difficult, but I think they're going to see VCU or even UCF. Both those teams can really defend. Duke's probably going to be like 8 or 9 point favorite. They're not going to cover in that next game. Mark my words about that. And then I think Virginia Tech's going to be waiting for them. And they just beat Duke a few weeks ago, and it's in D.C. The crowd's going to be behind them. Now, there was no Zion in that game, but Virginia Tech is Justin Robinson back. So then after all that, then Michigan State's waiting for them. I actually think Michigan State's pod is easier than Duke's pod, even though Duke's a one and Michigan State's a two. And I just trust their guards. Like Cassius Winston, Matt McQuaid, those guys made all the plays yesterday down the stretch to avoid the upset against a Bradley team that really shot it well early.
Tim, I heard you talking with Mully and Haw the other day. I'm pretty sure that's where it was. I know you've been on with Dan and Connor as well, but I think it was our morning show where you were talking about Duke and not liking their three-point game. That's been the consistent criticism of the Blue Devils. I don't necessarily think they're going to need it to win this national championship. That's why I put a grand on them.
Yeah, what'd you get in that, Danny? 2-1, 3-1?
Plus 225. It's a show pot play. It's the most money I've ever wagered on one sporting event in the futures.
Wow.
I'll tell you this right now. At full strength, they're the best team in college basketball, okay? Because, you know, you got Zion Williamson, and R.J. Barrett, and Cam Reddish, and you just got so much talent. But you have, you know, two guys that are going to be, you know, top three picks, you know, sandwiched in between Ja Morant more than likely. But I think it's a safe bet. You know, it just, the numbers speak for itself. If Duke makes the Final Four, they will be the worst three-point shooting team ever to make a Final Four at hovering around 30%. So that is a concern to me. And it reared its ugly head against Syracuse when they lost that game at Cameron Indoor Stadium. So I know we live in Chicago. I just don't like trends. Like, there was a kicker who once was on the Bears, right? Like, he used to, like, miss kicks. But you never thought, like, it was going to come down to him missing a kick. Guess what? It did. Is it going to come down to Duke missing three-pointers? It might.
You know, I didn't think we'd be talking about the Jeff Jaeger era. I didn't really think we'd go there.
Jeff Jaeger, that's a deep cut.
Looking forward to tomorrow and Sunday, games that are jumping out to you as entertaining. My God, the Florida State athletes trying to hold off Ja Morant. That's the one I can't wait for. What else is lighting you on fire for the weekend, Tim?
Yeah, that's a great game just because it's going to be a great chess match. You know what I mean? Like, if you're Leonard Hamilton, you want to get the ball out of John Morant's hands. But when the guy has 16 assists and his team goes 8 of 11 from 3, well, that game's not going to come down to John Morant. That game's going to come down to John Morant's teammates. Like, the Shaq Buchanan and the rest of the supporting cast there step up and bury threes, because that's what makes Morant so tough is – his basketball IQ. You know, everyone's looking for a comparison. Who's this guy? Who's this guy? And I saw his game last year. I called one of their games last year, Murray State. And I saw the athleticism, but I didn't know the basketball IQ like that is off the charts. I think he's Derrick Rose, Russell Westbrook athletic, but the basketball IQ is higher than both of those guys. And the jump shot right now is more ahead of schedule than both those guys were at that level. So I think we're going to be looking back at Ja Morant. Now, this draft, if you're a GM, you're going to take Zion Williamson just because he's the safe pick. Right? I'm not going to be the GM that's going to be like, oh, I'm going to pass on Zion Williamson. Like, no, I'm going to take Zion Williamson at number one. But I think in 3 or 4 years, we're going to be like, why don't you just take Ja Morant? Guys, he dominated that game yesterday, taking 9 shots. So that's the game I really want to see. And now Villanova, you know, they squeaked by yesterday. They're the only team alive in the Big East. And it was a down year in the Big East, so they got to kind of carry the flag for a conference that, you know, doesn't really have much to show so far in the tournament.
Tim Doyle, last thing I have for you, as a guy who has played college basketball, Division I, Big Ten basketball in the 21st century,
I didn't know you played.
Oh,
really? You did, Mac?
No, Tim Doyle. Tim Doyle.
Got it, my bad.
Not me.
I guess.
Did you find anything offensive about Tom Izzo coaching his freshman last night, as the rest of the world seems to?
I didn't find anything offensive towards it. You know what Tom Izzo was doing? He was coaching the Michigan State team that lost to Indiana twice. He was coaching the Michigan State team that loss to Middle Tennessee a few years ago. Like, for him to get that irate, you know, when they lost to Middle Tennessee a few years ago and Denzel Valentine was on that team, he went home that night and he probably said to himself, I was not into my guys. I didn't motivate them enough. And who knows what happened with that particular player and if he wasn't paying attention in scouting report and then, you know, what he wasn't paying attention to ended up rearing its ugly head during the game. But I think it was more of a, he's been in this situation before and he didn't want another two to lose to a 15. And that game certainly was in the balance. So I just think he kind of put the pedal to the metal and had to, you know, kind of motivate his guys. You know, I'm covering this tournament for CBS HQ. I was in the studio 14 hours yesterday, and I went to the bar, and I only drink Corona because I'm white trash. So I ordered a Corona, and then the bartender came by and gave me another Corona. And she said, she goes, has anyone ever told you you look a lot like Steven Seagal? And I just went, is that a compliment? Like, who says that? Like, I was having, like, an okay day until I got called Steven Seagal after working a 14-hour shift. Do you guys think I look like him?
No.
Grow your hair longer and put it in a tail, yeah. Maybe. Maybe. Not a lot. But you're more boyish, you know, boyishly handsome than Steven Seagal.
You got to look deep into the eyes of those partners over at Stadium and CBS HQ, all right? That's what's really going to make it sing. Remember, learn from Mac and really connect with those guys, all right?
Absolutely. Last thing, and I just want to add this, and I'll be brief. I want to say thank you to Dan McNeil. He really poked the bear with me last year with my son, and I still am getting to the point where I'm able to express myself, and I know there's a lot of dads out there like Dan who had kids that have had issues, and I know there's and men really don't know how to express themselves, and it took me a while to even feel comfortable talking about my son, and I really appreciate him kind of bringing that out, and as a guy, whether it's grabbing a beer with another guy or just sitting in the backyard with another guy, you do got to kind of get that off your chest, and it doesn't have to be guy to guy, but for me, that's what it was. So even though Dan McNeil and I have only met, you know, 15, 20 times in our life, he definitely made a certain impression on me. And for other dads out there, you know, I know it's tough, and I know Dan had his struggles, and I've certainly had mine. But talking about it, getting that off your chest certainly has helped, and I really appreciate Dan and pushing me in that direction. And to me, you'll always be a friend, so I appreciate that, bud.
Timmy, thank you very much for saying that and for feeling that. Your social media relationship with your son Joe is a gift to anybody who consumes it. Follow Chicago Joe on Twitter and follow Tim Doyle. Thanks a bunch, buddy. Have a great weekend, man.
Have a great weekend, guys. See ya.
See you later.
Thanks, Tim.
That's beautiful stuff.
Thank you,
Tim Doyle. We're gonna do a toast to dads a little bit later on. It's not Father's Day weekend, but you're missing your little guy.
I am.
Misk is missing his dad for many years. My dad's been ill, so we're going to break out a special single malt scotch a little bit later on and have a toast. We got some hockey coming up, some more baseball.
Yes, and we have a former NFL MVP with a rather unique offseason plan.
Awesome. Awesome. It's all happening on the McNeil and Spiegel Show with Parkins taking the day off because Chicago doesn't deserve him. It doesn't appreciate the NCAA tournament as much as he does. It's the score. And this hour of the Scores Broadcast Day is brought to you by Fisher Oven Roasted Nuts. Never fried snack nuts. Never fried. Nothing to hide. I love snack nuts. Snacking chocolates.
You like them on Clark?
What was the entertainment crackers we found packaged a few years ago?
I bought them for you.
10-year-old joke.
I was in a supermarket and I was shopping for crackers. And there it said, it was some generic brand, and it was entertainment crackers. And I realized that my partner at the time, Dan McNeil, was an entertainment cracker. Here's a cracker in the business of entertainment. And I brought them in, and you know what? Those crackers were damn entertaining, just like you.
They brought the cheese to life. 15-year-old hooks never tasted better with the entertainment cracker underneath it.
There were people laughing in all directions. These crackers are entertaining. I remember, like, certain little round ones, I believe, they sung and danced. Do you remember that? And then the long square
ones. Puppet show.
There were magic tricks.
Like Maria
shows.
From The Sound of Music, that many times.
Were you at your old place, Food for Less?
Oh,
is that where you got the entertainment cracker?
No, no, it isn't. But yeah, that's man. That is like month one of Mac and Spieg's material. When I went to Food for Less,
right? That was early on
because I found
that was still picking up the pieces time.
Yeah, but they had 10 cans of pineapple for $10. I couldn't believe it. And just
they
of all the bargains,
Spiegel the best goodie bag anyone's ever sent.
They did. They sent me a hat. I still have the Food for Less hat.
For gift cards?
Oh, yeah,
God knows what else.
It's going to be like $1,000 in gift cards.
Yeah.
I was handing them out to everybody.
I just remember hitting that store after your
next
tip.
Wedding.
Yeah.
Hitting that store after dark.
Food for Less?
Yeah.
A little sketchy?
Yeah, it was a little.
Yeah, maybe.
What was the specialty shop around the corner from us on Illinois? Jay used to.
Oh, Noble. Nobel. Nobel and something.
Nobel and something.
Box.
Yeah, it was right.
Box and Nobel.
There you have it.
You know,
then it got run out of business because it was all infested by everything.
That is true. It was a beautiful place that sold wonderful things, and it was way too pricey.
There.
It was delicious. And I believe Fox and Nobel is where you ran into Bill Melton and said, hey,
Craig
there's
Miller.
An old man.
Craig Miller.
Oh, Craig Miller, Southside Strongman.
I saw this old man, Bill Melton.
But yeah, Fox and Nobel was a wonderful place right up until the rats took over.
Yeah, the deli meats were fantastic until we learned who else was enjoying them.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Rats. Ooh, my best friend, he shoots water rats and feeds them to his geese.
Uh-huh.
That ain't no good.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not good. So I mentioned to you something about Jiggets.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
Because you and I are doing a show for the first time together in almost 5 years today.
Right.
We partnered on this radio station between June of 09 and June of 2014. And then I wanted to try something different. Took a while to get an opportunity to do that, and I did it, and I'm back. And we had a lot of text throughout the course of today's show. Great hearing you two together again today. And I said to Matt during a break, you know what I never hear when I meet people who've been listening to sports radio for many years? I never hear anybody say, I really enjoyed hearing you and Jiggets together.
You've been on a lot of shows.
2 hours ago, that happened.
No!
Yes.
That's
I'm
great.
Not lying.
Good.
It happened 2 hours ago. I was outside a guy who said, yeah, we're the same age. I liked Rush. That was probably the same Rush shows you were at the Hammond Civic Center. I grew up on the east side next to your next-door neighbor, John Rogers, and, man, I really miss you and Jiggets.
That's
2 hours after I told you that's never been said to me.
Well, it's about time. That's tremendous, because I'm sure you've gotten... I miss the afternoon saloon. I miss you and Terry. I miss you and Spiegs. I miss you and Tim Doyle on a Saturday morning. I miss when you used to run the board for Kopic. I'm sure you've gotten all that stuff. I missed you when you used to spin rock and roll at Ball State in thin red leather ties.
Here's a little band from Akron, Ohio called The Pretenders.
I really think big things are going to come for these guys. Yeah, I'm sure you hear all of that, but you never heard I miss you and Jiggets. And now you have.
I've heard it. It's a full circle.
I very rarely hear I miss you and Manily, me and Patrick Manily, but I think that's only because it was a 3.5 month engagement.
Lasted one football season. Manily's taillights.
I loved working with that dude though.
It's great. He bought you breakfast every morning.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty tremendous.
That's
but
the key to Matt's heart.
Took us to Notre Dame. Like,
oh my
awesome.
God! Yes, the best show bonding trip of all time.
That's
maybe
right. And that was the reason he did it was to create the team building element, which we had. So oddly interesting last week, 2 weeks ago in Arizona.
Oh, right. I know you did. I loved
it. That's where Spiegs introduced us to the world of jellyfishing.
That's right. I jellyfished Shep in South Bend. And the jellyfish, I'm happy to demonstrate, if you'd like, is where I lie on top of you and shake aggressively. And you don't enjoy it, and I don't care. That's jellyfish.
Shut up and enjoy it, kid.
That's what I said. Yeah, I did. I'm sorry.
I'm not opposed.
Well.
Yeah.
You know, it's... But I loved working with Manily. What a teammate. That's why
great
Phil Emery said that he had great teammateship. Mm-hmm. He exhibited wonderful teammateship. Mm-hmm. That's lovely. Because I get that too. I get like, oh, I really liked you in Goff. Oh, I really like you in Mac. I really like you in Parkins. And occasionally I really like you in Manily. And there you finally, Jiggets got
Jiggets.
The love.
All right, it's taken a few years, but it happened.
Thank God.
Broadcasting from Draft Picks today in Naperville. We've got 1 hour to go. We'll have a toast in a little bit. The NFL player you want to talk about, I'm glad it's what I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
Because I'm really into this, too. I think we'll have different opinions on it.
Okay, and there's a broadcast nugget regarding the NFL I want to get to as well.
Okay, it's McNeil with Spiegel sitting in for the, above it all, Danny Parkins. Taking the day off because you don't deserve him today because you don't care about the college tournament as much as he does. This is The Score.
Oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.